To find out what's really going on behind the music, sometimes you have to dig deep. I'm Dr. Mike, and on the new season of Going There, we're doing just that.
Art or music can be your escape and your therapy.
Going There is the podcast at the crossroads of music and mental health, where we have raw, meaningful conversations with artists like Noah Kahn, Julian Baker, Jason Isbell, Youngblood, The Head and the Heart, and Bishop Briggs.
I recently heard someone describe grief as glitter, where you'll clean it up and then you'll find little pieces.
By opening ourselves up to these real discussions about mental health, we can foster understanding and gain even greater appreciation for the music we all love.
For me, like, my favorite songs give me happy tears.
So join me and some of your favorite artists on the new season of Going There with Dr. Mike, brought to you by Sound Mind Live and the Consequence Podcast Network. Subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Tour set, pop!
Borahe, Iconic Army.
Borahe.
We are back. Sorry about not having an episode last week. We had quite a few technical difficulties on my end on the day we were supposed to record. I had no Wi-Fi all day. And then the next day when we actually did successfully record, when I was sending my file off to our producer, which, by the way, we got a new producer. Everybody say hi, Tyler.
Yeah, hi, Tyler.
I lost like half my track when it was exporting. So totally my bad and a little bit frustrating on our end, but we're excited to be back this week. And we have a lot to talk about. Before we get into the episode, we really want to talk about this release by Les Sérafim called Spaghetti featuring J-Hope, because it's been all over everything. It was released last Friday, October 20th, and it was released in what they're calling a single album, which is an album with multiple different versions of Spaghetti. There's an English version, a version with J-Hope, a Korean version, a members-only version, and then there's also one other song called Pearlies with two versions of that. Well, yeah. We had a lot of different thoughts on this song when we first listened to it versus how we feel about it now, so kind of interested to get into it with you.
Yeah, I thought it was a great feature. It made a lot of sense considering that Yeonjun featured on J-Hope's song, I Don't Know, from Hope on the Street, Volume Part 1. So I felt like, okay, this makes sense that they're having this trade-off where she featured on his album and now he's featuring on Les Sérafim's album, which is her group. This song gives very much Eurobeats, club, fashion, house style music, very like upbeat, strong rhythm throughout. I personally didn't vibe with it, at least when I first heard it. It's maybe warmed up to me slightly, but like this style of music is just maybe not my brand or what I really enjoy, I suppose. But I do enjoy the pre-chorus of this song a lot. Like, first time listening through, the pre-chorus was so pretty to me. And I think it's probably the second best part of the song, with the first being J-Hope's verse, obviously. J-Hope's verse, what I love about it so much is that his appearance in the music video takes me straight to Jack in the Box. Like, he's kind of in this maze area. It's very like Pandora's boxy. He's in all black. He looks sleek. And just the way that he's rapping this verse makes me think of songs like Stop and Pandora's Box. Like, that's where
totally
the rap verse is, that rap verse takes me, the way that he's rapping it. So I overall can just appreciate the song for what it is. It's not my like specific style of music that I will go and listen to, especially for girl groups. I think maybe my friend Anthony has worn on me a little bit, where I tend to like the really strong vocal like female songs now. But I can appreciate this concept for what it is. Like, this concept, I think, is more unique and a little bit more of a progression with girl group concepts. Like, I feel like it's blending the cutesy with the girl crush typical style that we see. Like, that's like the standard of K-pop female songs. It's just like the cutesy or like the girl crush concept. But this is like a blend of them with its own little weird element to it. There's just this mm-hmm. little strangeness and chaos to it, which I love. And I feel like it works well for Les Sserafim in this song.
I definitely agree with you on like the blend and the chaos of it. I feel like the production of it, you know, it can kind of like jump from one vibe to another vibe, like soft and airy into like boom in your face, like intense. And then like when you watch the music video, it gives that vibe too. I feel like, you know, Les Sserafim and Cat's Eye are both Hybe groups, and I feel like this song is Les Sserafim's answer to Gnarly. It's like Hybe saw the success of Gnarly and was like, okay, we're gonna have another girl group like repeat that same thing. One of the first things I texted you after listening to the song was, it feels like it's trying to be catchy in the way that Gnarly is. And even the music videos remind me of each other. If you watch them back to back, like, there's a lot of elements that seem super similar, like the surrealism kind of happening, all the food stuff crashing around, even like the part in the choreography, like in this song in Spaghetti, they like snarl their teeth and like kind of pull their lip up, and they definitely do that in Gnarly too. But I have to say, like, when I first heard Gnarly, like, I hated it. I was a big hater. And then the song really grew on me because of the chorus and because of the choreo during the chorus, and I became addicted to it. So like, I went from an extreme Gnarly hater to like, I love Gnarly, I still and Gnarly, but I always think the lyrics were trash. Like, the Gnarly lyrics just are like, they're total BS. Like, they don't mean anything. It's just purely to be pop and catchy. Where I do think Les Sserafim is winning here is the lyrics in this song, I think, are better. Like, they do a really good job of playing on like the food and the cuisine and like being your flavor of the listener and like leaving a taste on your tongue and being appealing in that way. So I do think they have a little bit of a leg up on the lyrics here. And so I appreciate that for sure, as like someone, I really, you know, look to lyrics in a song, and it's not like these are profound lyrics by any means, but like, at least they have like a consistent theme, I think. Yeah, it makes sense.
And you can also say that J-Hope's verse also lyrically matches the totally. Rest of the song too.
Totally.
The way that he wordplays off of everything that they're talking about in Spaghetti. Yeah.
Definitely. I think so too. I love his feature. I think he just has the power to make everything better. And like you said, I was thinking his flow reminds me of his classic rap style, like talking about Pandora's Box, totally a great parallel, where it just fits like the deep, warbling, funky bass that's going on in his verse. And like, he fits it so well. He did a really great job in his chorus, basically like hyping himself up, but bringing in like that food element. And honestly, like, his visuals were in Pandora's Box and more, he was giving, what's that movie? Oh, Fight Club was like what his inspo was. In this music video, he's giving The Matrix. Like, that
he looks
is
very futuristic.
Yes. With like the glasses and mm-hmm. yeah. So he's literally eating it up, like they're saying in this music video. This song, immediately when I first listened to it, not one of my favorites, but it definitely grew on me. I told you, like, that day, I was like, it's gonna get stuck in my head. And it did. So
eat it up, eat it up. Yeah, that's
it's too good
to get into your ear. Yeah,
for sure. So not one of my favorite songs ever, but I also don't feel like it's gonna have the cultural impact that Gnarly had. But I do think it's good. And I would argue that it's better than Gnarly, but that's a longer conversation for a different time.
I think the concept of Spaghetti is a little bit more put together than Gnarly.
I would agree. Gnarly was just like throwing something at the wall and seeing what stuck. But like, and they were just, I mean, both songs are really just using a bunch of buzzwords, right? Like a bunch of like popular things and like phrases to try to, you know, increase listenership. But yeah, I would agree. I think this is like a whole planned out, thought out concept, and it definitely has that for it. So anyways, I enjoy it quite a bit. I'll probably continue to listen.
Yeah.
Yeah. And anything with J-Hope. Anything with J-Hope. Like, come on.
Yeah.
Yeah. So good job, Les Seraphim. Love the song. And you know what? We are super excited to finally get to share our spooky Halloween fanfics with y'all today, since last week it did not go so well. Maybe the ghosts and the ghouls were plotting against us. But today we'll have it figured out. So stick around for that. Welcome back. We're your hosts. I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and this is Standing BTS,
your favorite informative fangirl podcast.
All right. Today, we are going to hang out for about an hour, and we are doing another installment of the Fanfic Files. If you are new to the Fanfic Files, this is a series where Kayla and I both find a fan fiction that was written by some other army. We have so many great writers in this fandom. And so we pick out a story and we read it here aloud on the podcast. And so this week we're doing Halloween themed fanfics.
Yes, because spooky season is upon us. And we know that we recently did a Fanfic Files, but like, listen, BTS are busy. They're making another album. They're planning a world tour. Like, they're just not giving us a whole lot of content right now to be able to dive into. And so what better time to share some of this fandom's incredible writing through a Fanfic Files than now? So we're excited to get into it. Before we do, we want to say thanks, Iconic, so much for being here and for all your support. If you'd like to support us a little bit more, you could join us on Patreon at patreon.com/standingbts.
Thank you all for being here, for all of your support, and of course, for listening.
Yes. Okay. So I'm going to get into my fanfic first. I chose one called Shadows Beneath the Fallen Leaves by Winterbear06. This was published last October, on October 23rd, 2024. When I accessed it, it only had 7 kudos and 217 hits. And I definitely feel like this is one of those that deserves more and should have more. Another thing is that this fic is a part of their Taekook Halloween series. So if you like this one, you can go check out more of them that are similar by the same author. So I'm going to get into it. No summary needed. The summary is super short, yeah, and we just don't need it. Okay. It was a night like no other. The sky was overcast, and the full moon was swallowed by thick clouds that seemed to pulse and writhe. A bone-chilling wind rustled through the abandoned forest just beyond the outskirts of town. Taeyang and Jungkook stood at the edge of the looming woods, their breaths fogging in the frigid air. "Are you sure about this?" Jungkook asked, his voice low, almost swallowed by the oppressive silence that surrounded them. Taeyang glanced at him, his expression unreadable. "We came this far. What's the point of turning back now?" The forest had been abandoned for decades, but whispers and rumors surrounded it. Stories of strange shadows and ghostly figures, of people going missing and never being seen again. Namjoon and Yoongi were the first to disappear nearly a week ago after they had ventured into the woods on a dare. No one had seen or heard from them since. Jungkook adjusted the flashlight in his hand, its weak beam cutting through the darkness. The trees loomed tall and skeletal, their twisted branches reaching out like claws. Dead leaves crunched under their boots as they entered the forest. The air was thick with decay, and the deeper they went, the more unnatural the silence became. Even the wind seemed to avoid this place. "We will find them," Taeyang said quietly, through his eyes, though they darted nervously at every shifting shadow. The last message they had received from Namjoon was a frantic voice note, distorted, full of static and strange guttural noises. It ended with a scream. An hour passed, maybe two. Time felt distorted, warped, as though the forest had swallowed them whole. The path was barely visible now, and the trees were so dense that even the moonlight couldn't filter through. The silence was maddening. Suddenly, the flashlight flickered. Jungkook cursed under his breath, smacking the side of the light. "This isn't the time for this, man," he muttered, glancing at Taeyang, who was eerily still, staring ahead. "What is it?" Jungkook asked, his heart thudding in his chest. Taeyang didn't respond, just pointed ahead. Jungkook followed his gaze and saw something. No, someone, standing just beyond the trees. The figure was tall, thin, and completely still. Its head was tilted at an unnatural angle. "Namjoon?" Taeyang whispered, taking a cautious step forward. The figure didn't move, Jungkook grabbed Taeyong's arm, pulling him back. That's not Namjoon. The figure twitched, its head snapping upright with a sickening crack. Then it moved, gliding forward without taking a step, its body stiff and unnatural, as if it were being pulled by invisible strings. The flashlight died. Panic set in.
We need to go. The flashlight, of course, would die.
Of course it dies. It's like every horror film. Mm-hmm. We need to go. Now, Jungkook hissed at Taeyong, who seemed frozen in place, his eyes wide with terror. But before they could make a move, a voice, low and distorted, echoed through the trees. Jungkook! Taeyong! It was Namjoon's voice. Jungkook's blood ran cold. He swung the flashlight, desperately trying to get it to work, but all he could hear was a crackle of static, like the one in the last voice note they received. Taeyong gasped, his hand tightening around Jungkook's arm as the voice grew closer, the figure inching towards them, its movements erratic and wrong. Run! Taeyong finally snapped out of his trance, yanking Jungkook back. They bolted through the trees, their breaths coming in ragged gasps. The forest seemed to close in around them, the branches clawing at their clothes and faces. But no matter how fast they ran, the voice followed them, growing louder, more distorted. They stumbled into a clearing, their legs trembling from exhaustion. The clearing was dead silent, no wind, no rustling leaves, just an overwhelming sense of dread. In the center of the clearing was an old, decrepit cabin, its windows shattered, the door hanging off its hinges. "We have to hide," Taeyong panted, dragging Jungkook toward the cabin. They burst through the door, slamming it shut behind them. Inside, the air was damp and musty, and the floor creaked beneath their feet. It smelled of rot and mold, but at least they were away from whatever was chasing them. Suddenly, there was a soft creak from upstairs. Jungkook's heart sank. "We're not alone," he whispered. Taeyong nodded, his eyes wide with fear. The creaking grew louder, as if something was slowly descending the stairs. Jungkook grabbed a rusty pipe that was laying on the floor, holding it like a weapon, which I love this Jungkook protecting Taeyong, like the air was thick with tension, every second feeling like an eternity as they waited. And then, silence. For a moment, they dared to hope that whatever it was had left, but then the door to the cabin burst open, and standing there, silhouetted against the moonlight, were Namjoon and Yoongi. But something was wrong. Terribly wrong. Their faces were pale, almost translucent, their eyes hollow and empty. "Run," Yoongi whispered, his voice cracked and broken. Jungkook backed away, but Taeyong remained rooted to the spot, his breath shallow. They are dead," he muttered, voice trembling. Namjoon and Yoongi stepped into the cabin, their movements jerky, unnatural. Jungkook raised the pipe, his hands shaking. "Stay back," he shouted, but they didn't stop. Their eyes locked onto Jungkook, and he could see the horror that lingered behind their empty gazes. "We shouldn't have come here," Taeyong whispered, his voice barely audible over the sound of his own heartbeat. Suddenly, the temperature in the cabin plummeted. Frost crept along the floor, and a dense fog rolled in from the forest outside. The whispers started, low, guttural voices echoing from every direction. "Leave, before it takes you too." Jungkook grabbed Taeyong's hand, pulling him toward the door, but before they could escape, the cabin shook violently. The walls began to close in, the wood groaning and splintering as if the entire structure was alive. And then, from the shadows, it emerged. A figure, tall and gaunt, its face obscured by a tangle of black hair. Its eyes gleamed red in the darkness, and its mouth twisted into a grotesque smile. Taeyong screamed and Jungkook swung the pipe, but it passed through the creature like smoke. The figure lunged at them, its icy fingers grazing Jungkook's arms, sending a jolt of pure terror through his body. They bolted from the cabin, running blindly through the forest, their breaths coming in ragged gasps. The whispers followed them, growing louder and more desperate. But no matter how fast they ran, they couldn't escape the feeling that something ancient and malevolent, was watching, waiting. And as they reached the edge of the forest, the whispers faded, replaced by the sound of footsteps right behind them. Jungkook and Taeyong burst out of the forest, stumbling into the open field that stretched beyond the tree line. For a fleeting moment, they felt the cold embrace of freedom, the open sky above them offering some reprieve from the suffocating darkness of the woods. But the footsteps, they were still there. Relentless, unforgiving. Jungkook glanced over his shoulder, expecting to see Namjoon and Yoongi, or worse, the grotesque figure with red eyes. But there was nothing. Just the wind howling through the trees and the eerie glow of the moon as it fought to pierce the clouded sky. "Don't stop," Taeyong panted, tugging at Jungkook's sleeve. His face was pale, streaked with dirt and sweat, eyes wide with terror. "Just keep going. We have to get out of here." But Jungkook froze. His heart pounded in his chest, his ears ringing with a high-pitched whine. He couldn't shake the feeling of being watched, not from behind, but from somewhere ahead. "Taeyong, wait," he whispered, grabbing Taeyong's arm. "Look." Taeyong followed his gaze, and both their hearts dropped into their stomachs. There, in the middle of the field, stood Yoongi. His head was tilted at that unnatural angle, and just like the figure in the woods, his eyes, lifeless and hollow, were fixed on them. "He's not real," Jungkook whispered, trying to convince himself. "It's not really him." But Yoongi took a step forward, his footfall eerily silent, then another. His body moved like a marionette, his limbs stiff and jerky, as if something else was pulling the strings. "We have to run," Taeyong whispered, but his voice was strangled by fear. Yoongi moved closer, his mouth opening wide, too wide, as if unhinging, revealing rows of teeth. Behind him, Namjoon emerged from the shadows, his body equally distorted, his limbs bent at unnatural angles. They were being led, puppeted. Jungkook's grip tightened around Taeyong's wrist, and they sprinted toward the only refuge they could see, a small barn on the far side of the field, its roof sagging under years of neglect. As they neared the barn, the world around them seemed to distort. The field stretched impossibly long, and the barn, once only 100 meters away, felt like it was miles in the distance. The air around them grew thick, like molasses, slowing their steps as if the ground was pulling them back. "What's happening?" Taeyong gasped, his legs trembling from the effort. Why can't we get there?" Jungkook felt the same weight bearing down on him. Every step was a struggle, and behind them he could hear the soft, dragging footsteps of Namjoon and Yoongi closing in, growing louder with each passing second. "They're getting closer," Jungkook hissed, panic rising in his chest. The whispers returned, wrapping around them like a noose, tightening with every breath. It wasn't just Namjoon and Yoongi. There were more of them now, figures emerging from the trees, pale and gaunt, their eyes empty voids, mouths twisted into grotesque smiles. "The cabin," Taeyong panted, looking back in horror. "We should have never gone there." Suddenly, Jungkook's foot hit something solid. He stumbled forward, dragging Taeyong with him. They collapsed at the edge of the barn, gasping for breath, their bodies trembling with exhaustion. Jungkook scrambled to his feet, yanking the barn door open with a desperate jerk. The rusted hinges squeaked in protest, but they didn't care. They bolted inside, slamming the door shut behind them. The barn was dark, the air thick with dust and the smell of rotting wood. "We can't stay here," Taeyong gasped, backing away from the door. "They will find us. We have to keep moving." Jungkook nodded, though his heart pounded in his chest. He tried to catch his breath, to think of a plan, but all he could hear were those footsteps, slow, methodical, and approaching the barn. And then the door began to creak open. "No," Taeyong whispered, his back hitting the fall wall of the barn. His hands scrambled along the floor, searching for anything, any kind of weapon. Jungkook grabbed a rusty old pitchfork from the corner, his knuckles white as he held it in front of him. The door swung open fully, revealing Namjoon and Yoongi standing in the doorway. But it wasn't them. Jungkook knew that now. Their eyes were black pits, and their faces were twisted in grotesque mockeries of who they once were. And behind them, the red-eyed figure from the cabin, its smile wide, impossibly wide, glided into the barn. "You can't escape," a voice whispered. It was low, guttural, and it echoed in Jungkook's head like 1,000 voices at once. "You are already ours." The figure moved closer, its long, spindly fingers stretching out toward them. Jungkook swung the pitchfork, but it passed through the figure like smoke, dissipating only to reform moments later. Taeyong backed into the corner, his breath coming in shallow gasps. "Jungkook," his voice broke, a trembling whisper, "we are not going to make it." The figure stepped forward, and suddenly the temperature plummeted. Frost crept up the walls of the barn, and the whispers grew louder, almost deafening. The red-eyed figure reached out, its cold fingers grazing Jungkook's cheek. Jungkook's vision blurred, his body going numb from the cold. He could feel it. The pull, like his very soul was being ripped from his body. The voices, the cold, the terror, it was overwhelming. But just then, just as he felt himself slipping away, there was a sharp, piercing scream. "Enough!" Taeyong's voice cut through the chaos like a blade. He was standing, his eyes blazing with a defiance Jungkook hadn't seen before. "You won't take us." The red-eyed figure hesitated, its twisted smile faltering for the briefest moment. Jungkook, gathering the last of his strength, lunged forward, grabbing Taeyong's hand. Together, they bolted toward the open door, past Namjoon and Yoongi's vacant stares, past the whispering voices, and out into the open field once more. The whispers faded, the cold lifted, and the oppressive weight that had followed them through the forest seemed to dissolve. They didn't stop running until they were back at the edge of town, their bodies collapsing onto the asphalt. Behind them, the forest stood still, as if nothing had happened. But Jungkook knew better. Whatever was in the woods wasn't done with them yet, and they'd be waiting, watching. As Jungkook and Taeyong panted, laying at the edge of town, hearts still racing and bodies trembling, a slow clap echoed through the night. They whipped their heads around, dread filling their veins as they expected to see the red-eyed figure emerging from the shadows. But instead, two very familiar faces walked out of the darkness. Namjoon and Yoongi, grinning ear to ear. Taeyong sat up, confusion furrowing his brow. "What the?" Jungkook scrambled to his feet, grabbing the pitchfork, ready for anything. "No way," he breathed, taking a shaky step back. You were. Yoongi burst out laughing, wiping fake tears from the corner of his eyes. "Oh God, that was priceless. You should have seen your faces."
"Oh no, they've pranked them."
Namjoon chuckled, stepping forward with his hand raised in mock surrender. "Relax, guys. It was all a prank. Just a little scare, you know, to test your bravery." Jungkook blinked, "I know." The adrenaline still coursing through his system. "A prank? You call that a prank? We almost died!" His voice cracked with a mix of disbelief and frustration. Yoongi shook his head, smirking. "Oh, come on. You didn't actually believe that ghost story about the cabin, did you? The distorted voice, the figures in the woods? It was all planned." Namjoon nudged Yoongi. "Your acting was a little too convincing, though. That thing with the unnatural movements? Creepy." Wait, Taeyong interrupted, rubbing his temples as if trying to piece everything together. "You mean the cabin, the red eye thing, all of it was fake?" Yoongi grinned mischievously, pulling out a small device from his jacket pocket. "The voice distorter. And those creepy figures? We had help from some of the crew. Told them to follow you at a distance, make you think that the forest was haunted." Taeyong's face flushed with a mixture of embarrassment and anger. "Are you serious right now? You scared the life out of us." Namjoon shrugged, still grinning. "But that was the idea. Besides, you guys are always talking about how you can handle anything. We thought it was time to put it to the test." Jungkook, still breathing heavily, ran his hand through his hair, his face torn between relief and exasperation. "I swear, I thought we were done for. The way that thing touched me," he shuddered, recalling the icy fingers of the ghostly figure. Yoongi raised a brow. "Oh, the touching thing wasn't us. That was just the wind." Taeyong crossed his arms, his expression sour. "So, where have you guys been for the last week? You didn't just disappear for the prank, did you?" Namjoon and Yoongi exchanged glances before Yoongi finally spoke. "We may or may not have gotten a little lost in the woods on our first night out there, but after we found the cabin, we set up the whole scare. We were going to tell you the next day," Namjoon added with a sheepish grin, "but then we figured, why not see how long you would come looking for us?" Jungkook dropped the pitchfork, letting it clatter to the ground. "You two are unbelievable." Taeyong groaned and threw his hands up in the air. You owe us big time for this. You know that, right? Yoongi winked. How about dinner on us for a month? Jungkook exchanged a glance with Taeyong. 2 months. Namjoon sighed, still grinning. Fine, fine. 2 months. As they walked back into town, the adrenaline slowly faded, and the reality of the situation set in. Taeyong punched Jungkook's arm slightly. We got fooled. By them. I can't believe it. Jungkook shook his head, laughing despite himself. I don't know whether to be mad or impressed. As they left the edge of the forest behind, Taeyong couldn't help but to glance back. The trees loomed, dark and still, and for a fleeting second, he thought he saw something. Red eyes, watching from the shadows. He blinked and they were gone. Must have been his imagination, right? With a final glance at the silent woods, Taeyong quickened his pace to catch up with the others. This time, though, he wasn't entirely sure the prank was over. The end.
Ooh, I like how it ends on this unknown note. Like, yeah, maybe it wasn't all completely a prank.
Yeah, especially because Yoongi was like, oh, like, we didn't touch you. Like, that was just the wind. Where, like, Jungkook definitely had, like, supernatural experiences with like that smoky red-eyed figure like touching him, and like the ground getting icy cold and like frost covering the ground, like if they had
and,
a
like,
crew out
like
there
running through molasses, like totally that, like the density of the air changing,
right?
Yeah,
or like the distance that it takes, you know, where it's like 100 yards away but then it takes them, it feels like miles to get there, like the distortion of time. I feel like and even if they had like a crew out there to help with like the prank, like a crew can't recreate frost like traveling across the floor rapidly. Like they could maybe have like a fog machine or something. So yeah, it was like, ooh, like haunted but also prank, but also like Namjoon and Yoongi don't know how bad they were haunted at the same time. So
yeah. And for them to be out there for a week too, like that's a commitment.
Seriously. They committed to the bit too.
Yeah.
What did you think was gonna happen before it was revealed that it was a prank?
I really just thought that like Taeyong and Jungkook were just really strong in that moment, and that they were just going to be okay, and that maybe like for some reason Namjoon and Yoongi got released by their courage or something like that.
Oh yeah,
that's kind of what I was thinking. I wasn't expecting a prank.
Yeah, that's right where I was at the first time I was reading it. I love the moment in the barn where Taeyong finally is like, enough! Like, he's the one who gains the strength.
Well, I was just thinking where he's like, we're not going to make it. It was kind of surprising to see that he had, like, this really strong burst of courage and was like, no, I'm not going to just accept our fate here. Like, I'm going to fight back. Yeah.
Yeah, I love it.
That was great.
Thanks. I'm glad you liked it. Before we go on to your fic, I also have another one to shout out. One that we tried to, when we tried to record last week, I was doing this one. This other one is called He Whistles in the Dark by It's Me 94. And I'm not going to read it, but it is really good. It is bone-chillingly creepy and it does have some gore. I will read you guys the summary. And if you feel like that sounds like a good fic for you and it sounds super creepy, it is like a psychological thriller fanfic, then please go read it. It's so good. So just real quickly, here is the summary for a backup fic, He Whistles in the Dark. 2 years ago, Kim Taeyong ended the nightmare by driving a knife into his obsessive boyfriend's chest. There was blood, there was silence, and there was peace. But peace doesn't last, not when Jungkook's love was never human in the first place. Now, Taeyong hears the whistle again on the walk home. The same sound Jungkook used to make when he stood behind him in the dark. And then, when the lights flicker and the front door unlocks itself, Taeyong knows he didn't bury Jungkook. He invited him back. So, that's a good one if you want something super creepy.
Yeah. I will say, very creepy, but if you are into actual horror and psychological thrillers, that is a good fic to read. So definitely check it out.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you liked mine. I'm excited to hear yours.
Yes. So the fic that I chose is called The Gray Pianist by Anne_odd_idea on Archive of Our Own. This was published on December 19th, 2021. It has 31 kudos and 207 hits. truthfully, I feel like it deserves more. This story is so, so good. This is a soap fanfic. So here's the summary. It's, after becoming stranded in a storm, Hosok seeks shelter in an abandoned hotel where he meets Yoongi, the ghost of a pianist who died there many years ago. Spoiler alert, it's a trap. And it's so good. All right, here we go. Maybe Hosok thought as he stood shivering in the doorway of the dusty hotel lobby. Maybe he should have stayed in his car. Wasn't that what they taught you in driver's ed? If you get stuck in bad weather, don't leave the car or you'll get lost and freeze to death. Usually followed by a story of some poor soul who hadn't stayed put, it was never seen again. But surely, if you were right in front of a hotel with lights on, it was okay to leave your car then. Hosok looked back. Truthfully, it had been much farther to the entrance than he'd realized, and his car was now invisible in the darkness. The light of the candles burning in the lobby illuminated a few of the falling snowflakes, but beyond that, he could see nothing, which would have been fine if the place hadn't been so ancient. Cobwebs dripped from a darkening crystal chandelier in the center of the room. Masses of pale wax clung to fixtures on the walls where candles burned down to their last nubs. Floorboards creaked as Hosok stepped inside, the thick layer of dust turning into mud under his snow-sodden shoes. Other than the candles, there was no other light source, and the room felt nearly as cold as the outdoors. Hosok wondered who lit those candles. Probably whoever was playing the piano in some other room. He definitely should have stayed in his car. That wasn't an option now, though. He'd never be able to find his way back through the dark and the snowstorm, and without any cell service, he was stuck. He shivered, and it didn't have much to do with the cold this time. This all felt too much like the beginning of a horror movie. Hosok didn't even like horror movies. Shutting the door quietly, he scoffed at himself. He was scared in the dark and the storm. That was all. And the piano player was surely just a musically inclined fellow traveler who had had the same idea as him. That didn't explain the candles, but he pushed that out of his mind for the time being. The music was coming from a room off to one side of the lobby, probably a lounge of some sort. It was soft, sad, maybe a little bit eerie, but surely not something you'd hear in a horror movie. Just a mildly spooky movie, perhaps. Hosok crept toward it, wishing he could muffle the creaking of the floor with every step. He peeked around the doorframe, and his breath caught in his throat. A blonde man sat with his back to him, playing a dusty upright piano while a metronome ticked softly beside him. The rest of the lounge was empty, except for a few tables and chairs rough with age and the same gasping candles on the walls. A bracket of three new candles sat upright on the piano, illuminating the man's pale hair as he played, his long hands never faltering over the keys. Hosok had never really believed in ghosts, and he also had never not believed in them. Stranded in an old and seemingly abandoned hotel with a man dressed in clothes that made him look like he came straight out of some time at least a century ago, playing a sad song on an old piano with no regard for the cold, Hosok was inclined to believe in them for now. His cold fingers ached from holding onto the doorframe, but he didn't dare move and make any more sound. "Hello." Hosok jumped, his heart kicked into overdrive. "I know you're there." The voice was low, somehow soft and raspy at the same time, easily heard over the piano despite the fact that the man hadn't stopped playing or turned around. "Come closer." Shaking slightly, Hosok forced himself to walk forward. The only thing more dangerous than meeting a ghost was angering a ghost, so he'd heard in stories. The instruction had been unfortunately vague, however, so Hosok made the decision to avoid being told twice and walked straight to the side of the piano bench. "Hello," said the man again, who had stopped playing, to look up at him. He seemed oddly softer than Hosok expected, with cat-like eyes, light hair that framed his forehead, and cheeks that looked, Hosok reprimanded himself for this mental choice of words, quite squishable. His skin was also very pale. "That was beautiful." If he was really talking to a ghost, Hosok guessed polite flattery was surely a decent option. "I've been practicing for a long time," he said. "Ah, The metronome was loud in the quiet. Did you get lost in the storm? I couldn't drive in it, and from the road, it looked like this place was open. I'm sorry if I'm intruding, Hosok hesitated. Sir. It was a strange thing to add, but this was a strange situation. Not at all, said the man, or ghost, or whatever he was. Tell me your name. Jung Hosok, sir, he bowed. Yoongi. Drop the sir. Yoongi studied him, eyes soft and gaze nearly enough to make him squirm. You seem cold, Hosok. Freezing, Hosok admitted with a small laugh. Pull up a chair next to the fire. Hosok turned confused towards the cold fireplace, where a comfortable blaze now crackled as if it had been there all along. Oh. Something the matter? Said Yoongi. And had Hosok not been so alert, he would surely have missed the barely perceptible upturn of one corner of his lips. No, thank you. He bowed quickly and scurried to drag one of the old wooden chairs, now mysteriously free of dust, close to the fire. His fingers tingled as he held them out to the glowing heat. You should really wear warmer clothes if you're going to go out in the snow. Hosok nearly jumped out of his skin when Yoongi spoke right next to his ear. He had made no sound on the creaking floor. I didn't expect to get stranded, he said once he recovered. I'll be more careful in the future. Yoongi hummed, seeming satisfied with the tactful answer. Have some tea to warm yourself up. He held out a steaming mug that he surely had not had any time to get from anywhere. Your hands will hardly work. Hosok's hands, and the rest of him too, were indeed still cold for any very coordinated movement, but he managed to accept the cup from Yoongi without incident. He didn't drink it, however, not yet. If this was some kind of spirit world that he had stumbled into, there was a chance eating or drinking anything could trap him there, or so he feared. Are you afraid of me? Said Yoongi, voice soft, and Hosok thought, possibly a little sad. He looked over at the man, ghost, being, now sitting in the chair that he hadn't seen him bring over. He looked harmless enough, slightly shorter than Hosok himself, and having acted only quietly helpful so far. But one could never be sure about something so strange. Should I be? Yoongi cocked his head to one side as if actually considering. That's a good question. A cold weight settled into Hosok's stomach while his heart continued thudding with every single click of the metronome on the piano. What do you think? Yoongi asked. Now that was a loaded question if Hosok ever heard one. Well, I don't know you, he began carefully. Surely that was safe, unless Yoongi had some long-dead distant relative who might be offended at not being recognized by his own kin. And I'm alone, and you can do things that I don't understand. Yoongi regarded him thoughtfully. I suppose that could make a person nervous. Please, Yoongi, I don't mean to be rude, but are you a ghost? I thought you'd never ask. One side of Yoongi's mouth turned up into a proper smirk. I am. Hosok had suspected as much, had already been operating as if it were true, but knowing for a fact that he really was in the presence of a ghost was a lot. Still, nothing horrible happened. Yoongi didn't fly at him to devour him. The room didn't reveal itself to be full of other terrible spirits. Hosok's soul seemed to be intact. He took a shivering breath. It wasn't like every ghost automatically had it out for the living, after all, surely. I've never met a ghost before, he admitted. I can tell, said Yoongi. Drink your tea. I don't want you freezing to death. I'd be stuck with you then. We're not in the spirit world, are we? Hosok asked. Something else could have snapped you up already if you were. Instead, I'm trapped here in your world, Yoongi said. I'm sorry. Hosok took a sip of the still warm tea. Of course, it had magically stayed warm. This place was so weird. I'm not, said Yoongi. I like to be alone with my music. You're good, said Hosok. Were you a pianist before? Yes. It's lucky you're still able to play. I didn't know ghosts could. It is lucky. Yoongi gazed off into the fire with such a sad look in his eyes that, ghost or not, Hosok kind of wanted to hug him. I don't know how to play any instruments. My friend tried to teach me guitar, but I was so bad. So bad, Yoongi. Hossack laughed, leaning companionably toward the ghost in hopes of taking his mind off whatever was hurting him. My friend said he started learning guitar because it's hard to play. It sounded really awful. But he had never heard me play. It was like Hossack screwed up his face and let out an ungodly screech, groaning noise, cut off in the middle of his own laughter. Yoongi stared at him, mouth hanging slightly open in utter confusion before his eyes sparkled to life and he laughed. It wasn't very loud, but it seemed to fill up the room with warmth all the same. Hossack watched him, a little taken aback, but pleased with himself all the same. "Do you practice that sound often?" said Yoongi. "Only when anyone asks why I don't play guitar again," said Hossack brightly. "What are you good at then?" It was an oddly blunt question, but Hossack imagined Yoongi didn't get many chances for conversation with the living. Maybe ghosts were more to the point with each other. "I like to dance." "Can ghosts dance?" "I suppose they can. I've never seen it," Yoongi said. "You could try." Yoongi looked at him like he'd grown a second head. "Or not," Hossack chuckled. "You might be good, though." "I'd rather be the accompaniment." "You would?" As enticing as the idea was, the idea of dancing for a ghost was still felt a little bit like being called to dance for a king in ancient times. If you ever end up being a wandering spirit instead of haunting a piano like me, you could always visit here. Ghosts still need music to dance to, I would think. Yoongi sent what could only be described as a very kind smirk in his direction. "Oh, you meant, yeah, I could." Hossack preferred not to dwell on the thought of his own death, much less whatever might come after, but the offer was certainly a charming one. "Do very many other ghosts visit here?" "No," said Yoongi, "and I like it that way. Don't go telling all your guitar-playing friends." "You don't want to start a ghost band?" The face Yoongi made was comical, an exaggerated pout, a furring of his brows, and a strange jutting forward of his chin, like he had bitten into something unexpectedly vile. Hossack couldn't help but laugh. "You're much more cheerful than the other living people I've met," Yoongi observed. "Were the rest stranded too?" "All but one. She was running from the police." "Is it a good story?" "No," said Yoongi in a strangely flat voice that suggested the subject was now closed. "The storm should pass by morning." "That's good," said Hossack. "Can I visit you again? Before I'm a wandering dancing spirit, I mean." "Why?" Yoongi looked genuinely puzzled. "I like you, and I wouldn't want you to be lonely." "I have my music. I don't get lonely." "Why are you inviting me back after I'm dead, then?" "You're less irritating than the rest." Hossack could only imagine how irritating the rest must be and how irritated Yoongi looked with him at the moment. It would seem he'd managed to break the number one rule of ghost interaction: don't anger the ghosts. But Yoongi didn't seem the type of ghost to get hurt for it. A strange silence fell, in which Yoongi tried to work out exactly what he had said wrong, and Yoongi stared deep into the fire. "Yoongi," he started cautiously after several minutes, and the ghost had not moved from his pensive staring. "You can call me Young." Yoongi didn't look at him, but his voice had gone back to its usual smooth drawl. "Surely I'm older than you," he smiled to himself. "Oh, that seemed fast and awfully familiar for a ghost. Are you sure?" Yoongi turned to gaze right through him. "Your life is so short." Hossack suddenly felt cold all over again. "It is?" "I've been dead longer than you've been alive," said Yoongi. "Oh," Hossack pondered that. "Life is pretty short." That wasn't a happy thought, and he shook himself slightly. "I'm sorry I made you angry, Yoongi Young." "You didn't. It's difficult to watch the world pass by at times." "It does sound difficult," Hossack said. "Time moves too fast, I think, for everyone but me," Yoongi said. Hossack didn't have an answer for that. How did one sympathize with an eternal being about the time, the passage of time? "Ah, well," Yoongi sighed, seeming to pull himself back out of the deep thought. "For what it's worth, Hossack, I really do like you." Hossack beamed. "I like you too." "If I had met you in life, I think I would have liked to be friends," Yoongi said. "We can still be friends," said Hossack. "I'll visit, and if you change your mind about dancing, I could teach you if you want." "Maybe." Yoongi's eyes looked sad again, but he seemed to gather himself. "We still have a while before you have to leave. I could teach you something on the piano if you'd like." Really? Ho-Sok brightened at a more cheerful change of subject and hoped Yoongi would as well. As long as it won't mess up your haunting, I wouldn't want to cause trouble. It's actually good for it to have someone living play every once in a while. Keeps it in tune. Even if they're terrible, you won't be terrible. Bet? Yoongi pouted. You have me as a teacher. Have a little faith. He had a cute nose. Ho-Sok decided, quite out of nowhere. He grinned. I have complete faith in you, Yoongi Young. Ho-Sok found himself perching a little timidly onto the bench in front of the piano, while leaned down next to him, almost close enough for his elbows to brush, as he showed the pattern of the keys. Try the chord. The piano appeared strangely intimidating with its many keys, but after a momentary hesitation, Ho-Sok confidently played those Yoongi had shown him. The moment his hands pressed the keys, they were no longer his own. The sound rang out, beautiful and perfect, and then his hands moved, apart from his will, beginning to play a song that he had never heard. Fear sprang to life inside Ho-Sok's chest, and he tried to pull his hands back from the piano, but they simply continued to play. What? He looked back for Yoongi, and still the music never faltered. Yoongi stood behind him, watching with a frightening blank expression. I'm sorry. Suddenly, Ho-Sok could barely breathe. What is this? The piano needs life, Yoongi said. Ho-Sok looked back to his hands, still playing away without him. They obeyed no commands, and neither did the rest of his body when he tried to stand or knock himself over the bench. Don't struggle. There's nothing you can do. Nothing I can do about what? The piano needs life to keep itself from crumbling with time. Yoongi's voice felt heavy behind Ho-Sok's shoulders. You're going to play until you die. Ho-Sok may have gasped, but it got stuck in his throat so that he felt that he was choking instead. He tried again to move. He was trapped in place with his own body, which no longer belonged to him. I'm sorry, said Yoongi again. Ho-Sok was too caught up in the horror of what was happening for him to respond. At least for the moment, he was too caught up in the moment to respond. But soon, hot anger began to build and spill over. So this is why you were so friendly, I see. Yoongi said nothing. You just needed me to trust you enough to come and play your demon piano. Ho-Sok grit through his teeth and used the only freedom he had left to glare over his shoulder to be sure Yoongi was still in fact there. I really did like you, you know. I wasn't lying when I said I liked you too. Oh yeah, I can really tell, Ho-Sok snapped. I don't have a choice in this. Well, I would have liked a choice. I'm so sorry, Ho-Sok. Yoongi really did sound sad, but it just made it worse. If I have to hear you say you're sorry for deliberately luring me to my death one more time, I'm going to scream. Do you want me to leave you alone? Yes, please, Ho-Sok said. He didn't hear or see Yoongi go, but when he looked back, the ghost was gone. Ho-Sok didn't know how long he sat at the piano. He tried everything he could think of to will his body back into his control or shift his weight enough to fall from the bench, but nothing made even the slightest difference. He might as well have been paralyzed despite his hands continuously moving across the keys. Time stretched on with nothing but the song, mocking beautiful and never-ending, and the incessant ticking of the metronome set on the piano to his right to mark its passing. It was an old metronome, the kind that was physically swaying back and forth. It was loud. The clicking seemed to dig into Ho-Sok's skull, and the perfect tempo of the music, never even the slightest bit offbeat, grew maddening. There was nothing he could do but play and listen, and that was what he did, even as his fingers began to cramp. The song never faltered. Surely death by piano wasn't a very swift end, and Ho-Sok began to wonder how long it might actually take. He already felt like he was going insane. He wanted to cry, but somehow he couldn't. He felt he must either move or scream, or he would simply fall to pieces right there. Although he could breathe, it felt like his rib cage was stuffed with cotton so that it could barely move. He tried to take a deep breath, barely managing to make three tiny, gasping ones instead. Shuddering throughout his body, he tried again with the same result, all while his hands played the awful music and the metronome ticked his life away. He couldn't stand it. He needed something, anything outside of himself, and the piano and these two sounds were the only things in existence. He couldn't stand it. Yoongi! He was about to break into pieces right then. He could feel it. Yoongi! Yoongi comes back. "I'm here." Yoongi stood beside the bench to his left, and Hoseok could have cried in relief for seeing him. "Stop this." Hoseok didn't care how desperate he sounded and probably looked too busy for any scrape of pity he could find in the ghost's eyes. "Please." Yoongi shook his head. "Hasn't it gotten enough life from me already? I can come back and do more later, as many times as it needs, more than it can get if you were to kill me here. That's not how it works." "Well, that's dumb." Yoongi said nothing. "Are you going to stand there and watch your stupid piano play me to death? Do you want me to leave you alone again?" "No." Hoseok desperately didn't want to be alone. He didn't particularly want the oh-so-reassuring company of his murderer either, but it was better than the maddening monotony of the playing of his piano, alone for who knew how much longer. Until he died, he supposed, but it still had been made clear to him how long that would actually be. "Is there anything I can offer to make you reconsider what you're doing?" "No." "I was afraid you'd say that." Hoseok felt stiffening panic creeping up again. And now that he had a ghost watching him, it seemed that he might finally be able to cry. He didn't want to. "How long does this take?" "A while." Yoongi looked uncomfortable. "You'll stop noticing time passing after a while." "Well, that's reassuring." A strange shiver ran across Hoseok's skin. "Can you at least turn off the metronome? It's supposed to help you lose sense of time faster." "It's driving me insane." Hoseok suddenly found himself struggling against tears again. "Please stop it." The metronome stopped, and he could breathe again, at least more than before. "Better?" "I'm not thanking you for that," Hoseok said. They fell into silence again, except for the constant sound of the piano. Hoseok began to feel faint, but he couldn't be dying already. He wasn't sure if he hoped he was or not. "You know, now would be a great time to tell me this is really just some terrible trick. I'll just leave, and I won't bother you again. I'll never come back here again. I can promise you that." Yoongi was still standing next to him, but he said nothing to acknowledge his words. Hoseok breathed out a tremulous breath. So this was really how it would be. He wished he could at least move his hand to wipe the sudden moisture on his cheeks. He was so tired. "Stop." Hoseok turned his head away from Yoongi. Cold hands grabbed Hoseok's own and pulled them away from the keys. They strained against his will to go back to playing. "I said stop." "I'm not doing anything." "I wasn't talking to you. Get up," Yoongi said. Hoseok couldn't get up, but Yoongi dragged him backward off the piano bench until he crashed into the floor along with it. Only then was he able to move on his own free will again, and he scuttled backward along the floor away from Yoongi on stiff arms. "You have to leave." Hoseok had never agreed more with anything in his life, but he couldn't even trust his own body to move. "The storm's over. Come on." Yoongi was grabbing him again, and Hoseok wrenched himself away. "The piano has a lock on you now. If you stay here, it's going to take you again, and there will be nothing I can do." "What?" "I'm breaking every term of my haunting for you." Yoongi seized him by the hand, ignoring his yelp of pain. "Get up and get out." Hoseok stumbled to his feet as the surprising strong ghost pulled him along. "Don't pretend you're not the one who put me in that situation." "I was, and I regret it, so I'm saving you now." Yoongi hadn't let go of his aching hand, pushing the door open and ushering him outside. "You can never come back here." "Oh, don't worry about that." Hoseok's teeth were already chattering in the cold wind. "Get in your car and drive, and don't stop until you get where you're going." Yoongi gave him a push forward, but he stumbled, still in a state of shock, and turned back around to look at the ghost. "You're letting me go?" "I am. Now hurry." Hoseok didn't want to be told again. He ran out through the door, through the drifted snow, not daring to look back until he reached the familiarity of his car. When he finally did look back, Yoongi was gone. The hotel appeared completely abandoned and dilapidated in the daylight. But floating through the air, Hoseok thought he caught the sound of piano music playing. The end.
Wow. Oh my gosh. Like, I know at the beginning with the summary, you told me, like, spoiler alert, it's a trap. Yeah. But then you just get so into, like, this soap, you know, dynamic, you know, Yoongi, like being...
I could be a ghost and dance but for I could you be while nice you play your ghost and, piano. Like,
And then also, but like the foreshadowing, like Yoongi giving Hosok a cup of tea and being like, warm your fingers with this, like, they won't do. Like, yeah, because he needs those warmed
They're
up.
They're not so they going to work.
Tickle the ivories, right? Or like where he was like, come, I can teach you piano. And J-Hope is like, I don't want to like ruin your haunting or anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then ultimately he did. But I think it's because I think he let him go, not because he saw him like suffering on the piano, because how many countless people has Yoongi already done that to? But I think he let him go.
He thought about that girl.
Right. You know? And I think he seemed a little sad, but.
Yeah.
Right. But at the same time, he's been doing it all these years to all these different travelers so he can keep his piano going. I think he let him go because J-Hope was so endearing. Like, he was like leaning up against the fireplace, like smiling, even sharing a story, and like he got Yoongi to laugh. Like,
yeah,
I feel like he was like, oh man, like I do actually like this guy. Like, I don't want to see him die here. He's too nice. Oh, I love it.
Yeah,
I love
it was
the story
so good.
So much.
Yes, the foreshadowing, all of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like you were saying, like, oh, I don't want to ruin your haunting. And then he ends up ruining it, but it's Yoongi who actually ruins his own haunting.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, it's so good.
It's so good. The foreshadowing is incredible. Yeah, I had fun with these ones. This was a good time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, Iconics, go and check out these stories. Of course, we will link them in the description for you so you can read them yourselves or find related stories as well, stories by the same authors, etc. Let us know what you thought about these stories. And as always with the fanfic files, if you have a beloved fanfic that is not super, super long, like one we'd be able to share on the podcast, send it our way. We, you know, sometimes do themed fanfic episodes. Sometimes we just do random. But if you have a really good one that you'd love to hear shout out on the podcast, let us know and we can add it to our list here.
Yeah, I would love to read an Iconic Army's fanfic. That would be so
Me
cool.
too. Or like a fanfic recommendation. Let us know in the Spotify comments what was the spookiest part of these tales for you and what was your favorite part of these tales. And as always, you can find links for all of the things in the description.
Thanks for listening and thanks for stanning BTS.